Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed Zayin. We're beginning on the very last line of Lamed Vav Mibez with the words Tanu Rabbanan. Today's share is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Nochum Shulman, Harav Nochum Ber Ben Chaim. All the Nishams we learned for having Aliyah. Okay, we begin the last line of Lamed Vav Omid Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. We read down a Braisa. The Braisa says, Ein Ofen Bo Pas Ova. Now, the Girsa that we have is Biyontif. On the side, it says that you don't have the Girsa Biyontif because we're going to have the words Bepesach over here. Now, ultimately, we're actually going to say that this is talking about all Yontif and not Bepesach. But the proper Girsa is that Ein Ofen Pas Ova. You're not allowed to use a Pas Ova, which we'll explain in a moment. Literally, it means a thick type of a dough. Make a thick matzah on Pesach. Divrei Reb Beishamai. This is the opinion of Beishamai. I will point out that amongst the Sfaradim today, they still do have thicker matzahs than do the Ashkenazim. They have like a pita. They have like a dough that is much thicker, that is still matzah, than the typical classical matzah that we use nowadays. In any event, this is the opinion of Beishamai, that you're not allowed to use this dough, Ein Ofen Pasov, you're not allowed to make even such a dough for usage on Pesach. There's a concern that it will be too quickly become chametz. That's the opinion of Beishamai. We turn to Lama Zayin Amud Aleph. Well, Beis Hillel Matirim. Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel says, no, it is permitted to make such thick loaves of matzah on Pesach. Now, the Gemara says, V'kama Pasova. Exactly how thick is thick? What is the definition of Pasova? So, Rav Huna says, Tefach. If the matzah is a tefach is, again, about 3.5 to 4 inches, the size of 4 thumbs put together at the width of the joint of the thumb. So, the opinion of this Pasova is it's pretty thick, up to a tefach. And he says, Rav Huna, Shekei Matzinu Belechem upon him tefach. We find by the Lechem upon him, which are also not allowed to become chametz, that it can be up to the size of the thickness can be a tefach. So that's what Rav Huna says. Maskev or Yosef, Yosef disagrees, and he says, wait a second, in Amru Bizrizen, who makes the Lechem upon him? The Kohanim, and we had yesterday the whole discussion, Kohanim Zrizen, but Malkum Kohanim, that's Zrizen, they're watching, they're seeing, nothing is going to go wrong. So you're going to tell me, just because you allow in the Beis HaMikdash the Kohanim to make lechem upon them that are thick of a tefach, they can't become chametz because the Kohanim are going to be very, very careful about it. Yomer B'Sheinu's reason, are you going to tell me that outside the Beis HaMikdash, where every Tom, Dick, and Harry is baking matzah, that they can go and make these thick matzahs and not be concerned that they're going to turn into chametz? And likewise, in Amru B'Pas HaMela, in the Beis HaMikdash, Lechem upon him was worked on constantly. Rashi says, "Shenim amheris lahachmitz shameilosa ma'akvosa." They were constantly working on it. As Rashi says, "Kol amenochos tuunim shlosh mios shifa v'chomesh mios beita." They were constantly sifting it and constantly beating it and doing all sorts of things to it. That's why it didn't become chometz. So you're going to tell me, Yomer b'pas shenim amela, pas that's not made in the Beis HaMikdash, the pas that's made in everybody's house, again, every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to be not working the pas as well as they did in the Beis HaMikdash, so it's going to be more likely to become chametz if you make it thick. Likewise, he continues, Rabbi Yosef, in Amru Be'etzim Yveshim, in the Beis HaMikdash, they had very dried out wood. We know that Tu B'Av, one of the reasons why Tu B'Av was a yontiv was because they stopped having to work to cut down the trees because the trees are now going to be too moist, and now they can spend more time learning Torah. That's one of the reasons, one of the 6 reasons was brought down. The Tu B'Av is such a big yontiv. So therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, they had especially dried wood, which would allow the baking to be done very quickly, be basically higher heat, and therefore there would be less chance for the dough to become chametz in the process of making it into a bread and to make it into lechem upon him. So Yomer Beitz Machem, outside the Beis HaMikdash, people take whatever wood they have. They're not so picky about the wood. It won't be so hot. The temperature will not be as hot. The wood will burn. So therefore, it's not going to be as hot and it's going to become chametz. And finally, Imamru B'tan Urcham, they preheated. The Beis HaMikdash was constantly baking things, so their ovens were preheated. So therefore, when the dough goes into it, it's already hot, and therefore there's less chance for it to sit around and become chametz. So in the Beis HaMikdash, again, you have another reason why you could have these thick breads, because it's much less likely to become chametz. So Yomru B'taner Tzonein, but people, when they make a bread, so their oven is cold, so they're not necessarily preheating it. They put in the dough, and they turn on the oven. So therefore, would you say the same thing, that this thick dough in chutz to the Beis HaMikdash is also not going to become chametz if you let it be a tefach in size? No, all of these reasons, they're going to be more likely outside the Beis HaMikdash to become chametz. So just because you're telling me in the Beis HaMikdash you're allowing a tefach, doesn't mean that you should allow a tefach elsewhere. And finally, in the Beis HaMikdash, the oven was made out of metal. In Amru B'tanu Shel Matechus, which gets hotter, Yomu betana shulcheres, and you tell me that in a shulcheres type of oven, an earthenware type of oven, it won't get as hot. So therefore, again, it's more likely that it's going to become chametz. So therefore, you can't, Rav Huna, tell us that just because the lechem apanim was allowed to be a tefach thick, so too all breads can be a tefach thick and not be concerned about chametz. So the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion as to v'kama pasova, how thick is a thick bread. You can't say it's a tefach. And halach l'maisa, again, we Ashkenazim certainly paskin that the bread should be very thin. In other words, matzah should be very, very thin in order for it not to become chametz. Now, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba said, I asked the following shaylos, shaylos as Rebbe B'yichud. I asked my Rebbe B'yichud. Rashi says B'yichud means beino uvein a rabbi, between himself and his Rebbe. He asked him privately. And Rav Yirmiyahu asked his Rebbe, who was that? Umanu Rav. That was Rav. Alternatively, others have the Girsa, Ikud Yamre, there was Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, Omar Rav. Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba said in the name of Rav, and he said that Rav had said, Shilas is Rebbe B'yichud. I asked my Rebbe privately, and who was that? Umanu Rabbeinu HaKadosh. That it was Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Nasi. Rebbe Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the Rebbe of Rav. Now, that's the simple interpretation of Yichud. Rashi brings a second interpretation that it means Bebirur. I asked him definitively. Borer, with certainty. So, in any event, this was the question that was asked. Either Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba asked it to his Rebbe Rav, or it was Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba quoting that Rav, his Rebbe, had asked his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Nasi. Fine. In any event, they asked him, my Passover. What does it mean when it says Passover? When we brought down in the beginning of the Brice, at the start of the Shir, ain't often Passover. We said, you're not allowed to bake Passover. We had the gear, so the Pesach. So what exactly does that mean? My Passover. So the Rebbe answered, either Rav answered to Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba or Rebbe answered to Rav. It means Pas Meruba. It means a lot of bread. In other words, this is a Shaila on Yontif. You're allowed to cook and bake and do all sorts of things for Ochel Nefesh for Yontif. You're not allowed to do it for a weekday. So the question is, how much bread are you allowed to bake on Yontif? That it, even though you're not going to eat it all on Yom Tov, but it's allowed to be done. Because there is a rule that when you bake bread, a person is going to go and have a better bread if there's a lot of breads in the oven. So therefore, even though you only need one loaf of bread, that bread will be better if you bake three other loaves of bread in the oven at the same time. Now, you don't need those three other loaves of bread on Yom Tov, but nevertheless, because you want to have good, hot, fresh bread on Yom Tov, you're allowed to bake the other loaves of bread. So the question that he asked is, how much bread are you allowed to break on a general yontif, not talking about Pesach specifically, and that's why we had the Girsa before, that it was talking about beyontif and not the Pesach, but the Girsa is on Pesach, but it wasn't a Pesach-related question. He was asking him a Hilchos yontif question. How much bread is a person allowed to go and bake on yontif, even though he doesn't need all of those breads? Because every time he bakes this bread, it's going to make the rest of the breads better. As Rashi tells us clearly in Dibra Masu Pas Meruba, Harbe Charorim Biyachad, cooking a lot of loaves of bread together, below Mishum Chimutz Nor Katlo, has nothing to do with Chomitz question. Ubecha Charorim Dakim Komer, it's talking about the small thin loaves of bread. Umishum the Kotarach Tircha, the question is you're putting in those extra loaves of bread that you don't need for Yontiv, are you allowed to do this? So that's the question that's being asked over here. And why is it called Pas Ovo? Says, Vamai Korole Passover. If the question is really is Pas Meruba, so why are you calling it Passover? You should have said, what's the halach with Pas Meruba? So the Gemara says two answers. Number one, Mishum Denefisha Belisha, because you have to go and make it very thick during the Lisha process, during the kneading process, and as a result of that, you start off with a big thick dough, and then you separate it into small little doughs, small little challahs. So therefore, in this situation, that's why it's called Passover, because it will lead from this Passover, from this thick dough, into Pas Meruba, into a lot of different little loaves. That's teretz number one, why Passover really means Pas Meruba. Teretz number two, B'bayis Eima, is Basrei Dahaitana, because where this Brice, or Tana Rabbanim, ain't often Passover, the Pesach, so in that place where this Tana taught the term Passover, Passover meant the Pas Meruba, Passover Korole. They called Pas Meruba, Passover. That was just the definition. That's what they called. A lot of loaves of bread, they called it Passover. Now, Gemara says, my timer, what is the reason over here? And Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to make Pas Meruba, Passover. And Beis Hillel says, Matirim, you're allowed to. What's the understanding here? If you're telling me it's because you're doing excessive work, and Tirucha Yisera on Yontif is not allowed, So then this has nothing to do with Pesach. My year you Pesach. I feel Yontif Nami. Then the year should have been like we had in the parentheses that it's on Yontif. It's not a Pesach question. So why is he asking us on Pesach, you're not allowed to make a Passover, Beishamai, Beisil says you're allowed to make a Passover. It's nothing to do with Pesach. So we're saying, you're right, Dein Hachanami. It has nothing to do with Pesach. This was the Yontif question. But this Tana, when he was learning this, was learning Masechtas Pesachim. V'hai Tana b'yontif shel Pesach koi. He was learning it on Pesach. And therefore, he says, are you allowed to go and do this on Pesach? Not because it's a Chometz question, but he was learning about Pesach. So therefore, he asked this question about the Yontif halachos, which are applicable to all Yom Tov, but since it was on Pesach, so he phrased it in a way, can you do this on Pesach? But it wasn't because of a Chometz Shaila, it was because of a Pesach Shaila. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, as Rashi says, the Lab Mishum Chometz Nachar, it has nothing to do with Chometz, El Mishum Tircha, this is a Tircha Yeseru question, because in this Braisa, the Ho-Hocha, Lo Tana Pesach, here the Girsa definitely doesn't say Pesach, as this Braisa says, Beshami Yomim, Ain't Open Passover, Be Yontiv, that you're not allowed to bake these multiple breads on Yontiv. Beishamai says it's too much of a Tircha Yeseru. Beisil says you're allowed to, because it's going to make that one bread that you need taste better. So therefore, you are allowed to go and do this. As Tosus points out over here, Beisilu Matirin says, Taima de Beisilu, Kitamrinam, Maremis Ishav Ova Tanu Mole Kikoros, a woman's allowed to do this trick and bake an oven full of breads, Afa Pisha in Sricha Rak the Kikorecha, even though she only needs one loaf of bread. Avala Malo Satanu Pamacheres, Leko Mandashore. That she's allowed to do it for that one time, because all of those breads that she puts in there apparently make the single bread that would have been there alone taste better. So therefore, the multiple breads there make each bread better, and therefore you're allowed to make the one bread that you can use on Yontif better, and you can do this Tircha Yeseru according to Beisil. But everybody agrees, as Tosu says, that to then go bake a second time, when you don't need any of the breads, that you're not allowed to do. Okay, Mara now brings down another Braisa, Tana Rabbanon, bring down the following Braisa. Yotzin, one can fulfill his obligation on Leil Pesach to eat the matzah at the night of the Seder with the following type of bread. One can fulfill it with pasnikia. This is a finely sifted flour. Uba hadra. Now hadra, it says on the side of the girsa should be hadra, which means lechem av, which means a thick bread. Previously we had hadra meant a coarse bread. It meant basically whole grain bread. As Rashi had said on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, hadra means shenital kol hadora, that it was taken away all of its beauty. In other words, the hainu pas kiber. This is talking about a coarse bread, which isn't as nice as a finely sifted bread. And then you have, as well, you're not allowed to go and make to matzahs, to be yotzi, to mitzvah, with sorikin hamitsuyorim bepesach. Sorikin hamitsuyorim, actually tells us, are matzos hamitsuyoros. They have a form or a shape drawn into them, so to say. Now, what we have in our matzahs, we have the little holes in the matzahs. They're made very quickly with a rolling type of machine to make the little holes in the matzah. That's to make sure that they bake very, very well and that there's no dough left inside. That's not what they're referring to over here. Here they're talking about they actually made some sort of a design into the matzah. So you're not allowed to do this l'chatchila. Ain't no sense speaking hamitzuyorim bepesach. But if you actually did it, you could be yotzi the mitzvah. So again, he's telling us b'diavad, if you have the sarikin hamitzuyorim bepesach, you're yotzi with them. Af b'sha'amu, ain't no sense speaking hamitzuyorim bepesach. But you shouldn't do this because, we'll explain this more in the Gemara in a moment, but there's a concern that as you're drawing these designs and making these shapes with the dough, you may go, in fact, and delay the baking of the dough, and it's going to turn into chametz. So again, bottom line, all of these are acceptable. Yotzin, with the pasnikia, or with the hadraw, and the srikin ha-mitsuyarim. These are all acceptable ways to fulfill the mitzvah of eating Pesach, eating matzah on the Leil Pesach. Amar Yehuda, Dov is a shal, Baisus ben zonin lechachamim. Baisus ben zonin asks the chachamim the following. He says, why can't you make these srikin ha-mitsuyarim lechatchil on Pesach? Mibnei ma amru ein osim srikin ha-mitsuyarim on Pesach. Why can't you do this? Because the woman is going to take her time. Again, women generally are the ones who bake the bread. It's not that's a woman. Anybody who's baking these breads, trying to make them into matzah, and that they shouldn't become chametz, if you start drawing designs in them, so it's going to take extra time. And that extra time is going to allow the dough to ferment and become chametz. So therefore, don't do this. That's why they didn't allow you to make the srikin ha-mitsuyarim. No, after the fact, if you saw that it didn't become chametz, so they're still kosher, and that's why you can use them b'diavad. Amalhem, so Baisus ben Zonin said, there's a very fast and easy way to make tsiyurim in the matzah, so why shouldn't you allow this? Efshar yasena bidfus, you can take some sort of a pre-cut form and just push it into the dough, and that will make the shape. The kavena kevan, it will make it immediately. The Gilead Hashas, which the Eger brings out, the word kevan over here means to do it immediately. As Rashi says also, klomar maher b'dechif achmas, with one pressing of this form into the dough, you can make the shape that you want, the design that you want in the dough. And therefore, you can do this immediately. It takes a second, and therefore it won't allow it to become chametz. So therefore, b'yisus ben zonin is, why can't you make tzurim with this type of a form b'dfus? So I'm low. So the rabbis responded back to b'yisus ben zonin, and they said, they're going to say, yom kol esrikin asurin. People are going to say, oh, you're not allowed to make tzrikim, but tzrikim, bais is mutarim, but these are mutarim. People aren't going to notice the difference. And they're going to say, you're allowed to make tzirim. I saw that these are kosher, so mistama, any type of tzirim are kosher, and the people that don't have these forms are going to tarry and delay, and the chametz, and the dough will turn into chametz, and then you got a problem. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok says, I went with my father Rabbi Tzadok into the house of Rabbi Gamliel, but it was Pesach, and they brought in front of them Srikin Hamutsuyorim Pesach, and they brought in front of them these matzahs that had these designs made in them on Pesach. So Amarti, so Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok said to his father, Abba, lo kacham chacham, didn't the rabbis forbid this? Didn't the rabbis say, Enos Srikin Hamutsuyorim Pesach? You're not allowed to do this. So Amalis, Rav Tzadok tells his son, Bini, he tells Rav Elazar, Lo shall call Adam Amru. When the rabbi said it's forbidden to make the Srik and Hamutsuyarim, they weren't talking about everybody. El shall nachtomim. They said about the bakers. Because Rashi understands this here as follows, that when a regular person does this, so they don't really care. Lo shall call Adam Amru, they don't really care that much because they're not professional. So the Balabayas who makes this latzmo, enochoshisli afuson kokahira, he doesn't spend so much time, she doesn't spend so much time making every little design perfect. They don't show alim, it takes a second, it won't take a long time. The baker is selling it professionally, oh, he's going to be very concerned. Harry Rov nachtomim, ein lam osu tfus, they don't have these tfus, and they're going to have to spend a lot of time with the handiwork over here, and that is going to be a problem of chametz. So it's the bakers that they said can't do this, but a private person can. And here, in the house of Rabbi Gamliel, it's a private person. Alternatively, others had a different gear here. They said, Hachi kamale, this is what Rav Tzadok told his son, Rabbi Elazar. Lo shel nachtomim amru, the nachtomim were allowed to do this, because the nachtomim are some of their professional bakers, they're used to doing this, they have these forms, and they can make it chit-chat, they can make it 1, 2, 3. El shekol adam, but the private person in the house, they don't have these forms, it's going to take them forever to make these designs in the matzah, and the matzah will become chametz. Amr of Yossi, Osin Surikin, Kimin Rikikin, others have the Girsa Min Rikikin. So you can make these Surikin, these certain types of matzos that have designs in them, very, very, very thin. So you can make these Surikin if they're very thin, Kimin Rikikin, like the very thin wafers that they made in the Beis HaMikdash. They ain't Osin Surikin, but you can't make Surikin Kimin Gluskos, like the very thick, beautiful pieces of cake. That you're not allowed to do. So in other words, if you're going to make these Srikin, they have to be very, very thin. They can't be thick at all. As Rashi says, when you're making these Srikin, Bavachu Dakin, they must be very, very thin, Uklushin. And in this situation, they ain't Maharin Lahachmetz. They won't become Chametz quickly because they're very thin and very small. Avalo Mitzuyarin, it's Aavin Kigluskos. You can't make the thick doughs, which would be permissible if you put them in the oven right away, you took care of them quickly, don't make the designs in them. The mitoch avim, because they're so thick, machmitzin bishiyum wetas, they will become chametz with even a little bit of weight that you're making these designs. So again, Rav Yossi adds, and he says, if you are making this, the tzrikim mitzuyarim, they must be very, very thin doughs. If they're thick doughs, you can't do this. Gemara continues and now quotes a Mishnah that we find in Chala. The Mishnah tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, that's actually the girsa that we have on the side. The Bach says that the girsa should be Tanan Hossam. In any event, we learned in the Mishnah over there in Chala. Hasufgonin. What are sufgonin? They're not donuts like we normally translate them. These are doughs that are made, Rashi says, asuyim kisfug. They're like a sponge type of a cake, type of a dough. But it's a bread. Vadufshonin. And likewise, if you have bread, Rashi says, mitugonim bidvash. It's fried in honey. Vikulon min lechem. And these are all different types of breads. This sponge bread, this honey fried bread, the iskritin, Rashi says, Asuyin kitzapichis. These are things that are made out of like a wafer-like material, kitzapichis bidvash, like the one is described. Shaloshin isosun rakamo, they're very, very thin type of a wafer, very thin type of a dough. And likewise, this v'chalas hamasres. Rashi explains this is masres means machabas, like a flat frying pan. And finally, the last item that this Mishnah tells us, Hameduma, Rashi explains, Meduma is a mixture, Chulin Shenofla Truma Lesochan. If you have a mixture of Truma and Chulin, so we don't know what this is, it's all mixed up together, it's not Batel, there isn't 100 of Chulin against the Truma, so this mixture that contains over here has a aspect of Truma to it. In all of these situations, the Mishnah in Chala tells us, Peturim min achala. There is no chiyuv to take off challah from all of these things. There's only a chiyuv to take off challah from bread. As Rashi brings down the chsiv in the pasuk, it says, "Ba'chalchem milechem ha'aretz." You only have to bring challah from a dough. You take off the matnas kuhuna called challah if you have a lechem. And Rashi points out these five things that we just mentioned, the sufganim, the duvshanim, the chalas masres, the iskritin, and the meduma, aren't defined, at least the first four aren't defined as lechem, and the last one, we'll see, has a separate exclusion, the Gemara will tell us, because it already has truma in it, and you're not supposed to take truma from something that's truma, you're supposed to take the truma, this challah, this matnas kahuna, from something that isn't already truma. It says, Torimu truma, Rashi says, v'lo shekvar ha yetruma. You have to take off something from it to make it truma, but not that there was truma there already. So these five types of doughs, the first four are not considered lechem. The last one, while it may be considered lechem, is not considered something you have to take off challah from it, petur min challah. That's what the Mishnah Challah tells us. Now, what exactly was this challah masres, the Gemara says? What we said was in a frying pan. My challah hamasres. What is this? So the Gemara tells us, Amar Shubin Levi, ze cholut shobali batin. This is what we referred to the other day, was the cholut, the singed or scalded type of bread. Rashi had used the term, a French word that sounds like scalded, and it means that it was, the flour was put into some hot water, or hot water was put on it, as we'll see, and this cholut is not considered lechem according to this Mishnah in Challah. Amar Shlokish tells us, halalu maisei ilfasein. He says that this type of breads that are mentioned here are not considered breads because they're not baked in an oven. They're baked in some sort of an ilfus. An ilfus is like a pan or a pot of some sort without water. If you'd had water in there, then it would be cooking, and then it certainly wouldn't be considered bread. Bread is baked, not cooked. But here, you're not putting it in water, so you might have thought that these would be considered like a bread baked in an oven. So Rish Lakish says, the Tana of this Mishnah is telling us that they're not considered lechem when they're put into a Maisei Ofis. They're all like Maisei Ofis. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan, no. Maisei Ofis Chayavim. If it was something that was dough that was made in a frying pan of some sort without water, but just you put it in a frying pan and you put it in the fire, in that situation, it would be considered bread. So why are these in this Mishnah not considered bread? Mahalalu shason b'chama. You didn't make it with fire. You made it with solar. You made it with heat from the sun. And therefore, that's why they're not considered lechem. We're going to now go question back and forth the two opinions of Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. So first we bring down Akasha to Reish Lakish. Meisvei. The following brisa seems to directly contradict what Reish Lakish said. Again, Reish Lakish says that Maisei Ofis is not considered lechem. And here in this brisa it says specifically, Hasufganin, Hadushanin, Vaiskuritin. These things that we just mentioned in the Mishnah in Challah, which you said are potim in a Challah, here it says beferish, if you made them ason be'ilfis, if you made them in an ilfis, in a frying pan, chayavim, they are chayiv in Challah. However, if you made them b'chama, if you made them with solar energy, with heat from the sun, then they wouldn't be considered challah. So this is exactly what Rav Yochanan said, Tiyufta Rav Shimon Lakish, Tiyufta Reish Lakish. So Amar Ula says, no, it's not. What would Reish Lakish say? Amar Ula Reish Lakish, Rav Shimon Lakish would say, Hachem Ayaskin, you know, we're talking about over here that Shehirtiach, Hirtiach means you heat it up. Rashi says, you heated up this frying pan, this ilfis, this pot, the achakach hidvik bo halechem, and only afterwards, libesov hidvik. So here, when you're dealing with a hot frying pan that you put the dough into, that's considered like baking. And that's why this brisa says, this is like baking, and Reish Lakish agrees with that. In the Mishnah in Challah, when Reish Lakish says that these are called Maisei Ofis, it's because the frying pan wasn't heated up first. When you made all of these things, it was in a cold frying pan, and therefore, that's why he said Maisei Ofis is not called Lechem. But when you have it in a preheated frying pan, here Tiach Ulbesov Hidbik, that's the Braisa, so Reish Lakish agrees with that Braisa, so there's no steer in Reish Lakish. Gemara says, if that's true, then avol hidbik ul besofir tiach. If you're telling me then that if you first put in the dough and then you heated it up, my, what's the halacha? Hochanami deptur, and then Reish Lakish would say in that situation, that's like the Mishnah and Chala, that you would be potter in that situation. So then why, in the end of this brisa, did it say, adatoni seifa, asan b'cham epturin, instead of giving us an example of in the solar heat, when you left it out in the sun to bake or cook, so it's considered potter in a Chala, why you go to a separate idea? You could have made your diuk within the same thing. For example, lif lo gulisnei bidida. You should have made the distinction between the two types of ilfas, the one that was preheated and the one that's not preheated, to show us this din. You should have said, b'medvar mamurim, when do we say that a ilfas is chayiv and chala, that's only kagon shir tiach ulbasof hidbik, if it was preheated and then you put in the dough. That's when it's chayiv b'chala. But abul hidbik, if you put in the dough first and only afterwards ulbasof, subsequently hir tiach, then you heated it up, then pturin. So why give me the case of the soli? You could have made your diuk within the same case of the frying pan. That in this situation, when you preheat, it is chayiv b'chala. If you don't preheat, it's not chayiv b'chala. Why not do it that way? So Gemara says, no, that's exactly what this brisa did. And in fact, that's exactly what the brisa is saying. But imagine, remember, the brisa is telling us, under what circumstances are you chayev in chala, in a frying pan, in this ilfis, shehir tiach, when you've preheated it, ulubisov, hidbik, and then you attach the dough to it. Oh, in that situation, you're chayev in chala. But if you first put in the dough, avul hidbik, and only subsequently ulubisov, hir tiach, and then you heated it up, that's as if, nasa kamisha osu b'chama, it's as if it was solar. It was as if it was just made from the sun, and therefore piturin. In that situation, is in fact exempt from the chiyuv of chala, because it's not called, in that situation, lechem. Try again. Mor says, toshma, we learned in another braisa, it says, yotzin b'matzahina. A person can fulfill his mitzvah of eating matzah on Leil Pesach with matzahina. Rashi explains that matzahina is eino afuya kol tzorcha. It's not fully cooked, and it's from the lashon of, like we have with the Korban Pesach, it says, al sochlu mimenu na umevushal. It says, you can't have it raw or somewhat cooked. So hina is a lashon of, it's not fully baked. So one can fulfill his obligation with matzah that is partially baked, yotzin b'matzah hina, as long as it's baked enough, as we'll see, that it's no longer potentially capable of becoming chametz. And likewise, it says here in this braisa, here's the part that we're interested in, o b'matzah suya be'ofis, and you can be yotzin a mitzvah of matzah with Leil Pesach on the night of the Seder with matzah that was made in a frying pan. Now, the matzah is called lechem oni. It's by definition called bread. So you see that matzah, hasuya be'ofis, is called lechem, and therefore it should be chayiv in chala. Kashan Reish Lakish says that the dough that's baked in the ofis is potum in a chala. So Gemara says, no, this price is talking about hochanami, also shir tiach ulubasof hidbik. We're talking here, also it was preheated, and then he put in the dough. That's why you're able to be yotze over here, b'matzah yisuya be'ofis. Now the Gemara asks, by the way, what is this matzahina? I already told you what Rashi explained it. My matzahina, what is this matzahina? So Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, kol sheparsa veinchutin nimshachin heimena. It's if you bake it enough, that if you break this bread after you baked it, you break this matzah after you baked it, and it won't have the gooey attachments from one piece to the other piece. The threads of dough are going to be broken. They're going to snap. There's not the gooiness to it that still is attaching the two. If it's baked enough that there's no gooiness attaching one piece to the other when you break them apart, that's called baked enough that it's matzahina that you can be yotzi with as matzah. Similarly, Amar Rava, Rava said, the same halach applies in the Beis HaMikdash when you have to have lach mitoda, the 40 breads of the Todah that are brought, the four groups of 10 breads, so they also have to be baked enough in order to be considered lachmi Todah, that if you'd break them apart, they wouldn't go and have that gooey attachments one to the other, they would be broken apart. Then you know that it's baked enough. Where it says pshita, of course, hocha lechem siv, hocha lechem siv. So the word lechem is used by the lachmi Todah. The word lechem is used over here by Pesach, by lechem oni. So why would you think that they have different dinim? So where it says, no, there is a hava meaning to think that they have different dinim. Mal detem, I might have thought, by the lach metoda, it says, you shall bring from it, we turn to the Yomid Beis, we continue to Pasuk, v'hikriv mimenu, echad mikol karban. We mentioned many times that the lach metoda were 40 breads, there were four groups of different types of breads, 10 breads in each group, and the truma part of that was given to the Kohen, you brought your lach metoda, you were able to eat 36 of the breads, 9 from each group of 10, and one you had to give from each of the four groups to the Kohen. So it says, v'ikru mimenu echad mikol karban. I might have thought that the word echad implies echad shelo yitol porus, that you can't give him something that if it breaks, he gets a piece. It has to be so well stuck together that it won't break, and therefore it must be baked beyond this point of hina. V'hocha, keman deprisa dami, because if it can break earlier that, it is considered not giving him an echad. Kamash ulan, therefore, Rava's chiddush is, v'kein belach mitodis, to tell us that this level of baking is good both for the Pesach night, yotze, the matzah, as well as for the lach mitodah. Okay, back to our question, our machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, whether the Maisei Ofis is considered or not. Here we're now going to give a kasha to Rav Yochanan. So, Meisvei, Rav Yochanan is being asked for the following brisa. It says, Hami'isa. Now here we're going to get into a discussion between different types of singeing or scalding the flour with hot water. And there are two things, Hami'isa and a chalita. We're going to have different ways of understanding them. So first we'll read the Gemara, and then we'll see how we change our understanding of it as we go forward. So the first part of this brisa says, Hame'isa, if you have a certain type of flour that was scalded with water, Beishame potrim. Beishame says that this is not considered lechem, and it doesn't have a chiyuv to take off challah from it. As opposed to Beisela m'chayvin. Beisela here is more machmir and says that this is chayiv in challah. That's this me'isa type of a dough. However, ha'chalita type of a dough, which again, it's very similar to me, so we'll see even opinions saying that they're the exact same thing in a moment. But this is another type of scalding of the dough. Beis Hillel says about this chalita differently, he says, and Beis Shammai says differently, they say. So the chalita, Beis Shammai here is mechayivin. Beis Shammai says the chalita type of dough is mechuyav in the din of challah. Or Beis Hillel poach, Beis Hillel says it's not. So you have exact opposite shitos between the me'isa and the chalita types of doughs. Now, the Braisa asks, Ezo Me'isa, Ezo Chalita. What exactly are the Me'isa and the Chalita? What's the difference between them? So the Braisa says, HaMe'isa, that type of dough that is scalded, called Me'isa, is first you have the Kamach, and you put it, Sha'al Gabe Mugloshin. Mugloshin means roasted hot water. So you put the Kamach into the hot water. That's what the Me'isa is. Kamach Sha'al Gabe Mugloshin. It's on top of the Mugloshin, the hot water. As opposed to the chalita, ha-chalita, what is that? The mugloshim, the hot water, is poured sha'agabi kemach, onto the kemach. So you might ask yourself, why should there be a difference? And the Gemara is going to ask that question itself later on. But right now, we're saying that this is the difference between the me'isa and the chalita types of doughs, and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have the exact opposite opinion for which one is chayiv and chala and which one is not chayiv and chala. That's the first part of the brisa. Right now, the brisa continues. We haven't yet discussed that first part of the brisa. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel, who is the son of Rabbi Yossi, says the name of his hailing of father, Rabbi Yossi, the great Tana, and he says, Zev Zep Liftor. He says, both the Me'isa and the Chalita, neither of them is chayiv in taking off challah. Others say he said the exact opposite. Yamile, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi said in the name of his father, Mishum Aviv, Zeh v'zeh l'chiyav, that both the Misa and the Chalita are m'chuyavim in taking off challah. And then finally, the Braisa concludes with the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim, they're both the same thing. Echod zeh v'echod zeh. The Mi'isa and the Chalita, there's no difference between them. However, it depends how they're made. He said they both have the same din, but it's dependent upon their made. If you have the flour that was either having me'isa done to it or you had chalita done to it, nevertheless, it depends. If you then subsequently put it into an ilfis, asan be'ilfis, then it's potter. There is no din chala because it's not considered over here lechem. But if you then bake it subsequently in a tanur, be'tanur, then it is considered lechem and it would be chayiv and chala. So it depends. Be'ilfis potter, be'tanur chayiv. But it has nothing to do with the me'isa and the chalita. It's what you do with it subsequently that will determine whether it's chayiv and chala or not chayiv and chala. So this is the brisa as it's given to us straight out. But before we can go further, the more questions, what was the exact understanding of the Tanakama? The Tanakama over here who told us that Beis Shammai by the Me'isa is poter and Beis Hillel is mechayev, and by the Chalita, Beis Shammai is chayev and Beis Hillel is poter. What exactly is going on over here? The Tanakama, Maishno Me'isa or Maishno Chalita? Why should there be a difference between the two opinions? One would have thought that if Beis Shammai is poter, they'd be poter in both, and Beis Hillel is chayev in both, or vice versa. Why would there be this distinction between whether it was the Me'isa or the Chalita? Even though there's a difference between the two, what's the understanding why there should be a halachic difference between the two? Some Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel, and then the gears that we have, and likewise, Zechein Amar Rabbi Yehuda, which on the side it says it should be Rabbi Yochanan, so you have Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel, and the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, and others say Vitema, also the opinion of Yeshua ben Levi, all of these Amarayim, they say as follows, Kemachlokes bezu, kach machlokes bezu. They said, no, you're right, there is no difference between the Me'isa and the Chalita, and Beis Shammai Beis Hillel are in agreement. just there's a machlokes as to what their opinion is. One opinion holds that Beis Shammai is the one that's poter for both of them, and Beis Hillel is mechayev for both of them. And then there's another opinion that says, no, Beis Shammai is the one that says Zechayiv and Chala in both of them, and Beis Hillel is the Mekel opinion that says you're potter from Chala in both of them. So Kimachlok is Bazoo, Kachalok is Bazoo. And in fact, the Tavra, the one, you have two opinions here as to what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel hold. So the one that says Beis Shammai is Mako disagrees with the one that says Beis Shammai is Machmir. And the one that says Beis Hillel is Mako disagrees with the one that says Beis Hillel is Machmir. So there are two sets of opinions as to what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel's sheet is. But Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is a machlokis as to what their argument is. But there is no machlokis between Me'isa and Chalita. Both of them hold that Me'isa and Chalita have the same din. Just you have one version that says Beis Shammai is the Machmir opinion, and you have one version that says Beis Shammai is the Mekel opinion. And that's what the Gemara tells us now. The Tavra, obviously, with the Tuf and the Shin are interchangeable from Aramaic to Hebrew, so the Shavra, it's broken. Whoever said the first one can't say the second one, obviously. You can't have one opinion saying Beis Shammai is Mekel, and then say, and I have another opinion that says Beis Shammai is Machmir. So obviously there's two different opinions as to what the Machlokas was between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but according to this, both of them are agreeing that Me'isa and Chalita are the same exact thing, because it doesn't make any sense to say that the Me'isa and the Chalita should be different, even though one is putting the water on the flour, one is putting the flour on the water. Why should that make a difference in their Chiyav of Chal or not? So that's the way we understand this. The Tavra, you smash the two. The two Shitas can't go next to each other. They're mutually contradictory, and therefore, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. That's the simple way to understand Tavra. On the side, in the Sarsa Shas, he says, go look in the Tosus and Ksubas on Daf Ayin Hey, where the Rabbeinu Hananel is quoted as saying that Tavra is a Loshan of Shvua. But it basically is no difference in the final outcome. There's no way to reconcile these two different opinions. So that's the proper way to understand the Braisa. Now we get to our question, the Kasha from this Braisa on Rav Yochanan. Now, Tani Mi, as we said in this Braisa, the Chacham Omrim, the last Shita was the Chacham, and they say, Echad Zeh Ve'echad Zeh. It doesn't make any difference over here whether the flour was poured onto the water or the water was poured onto the flour. The bottom line is, that's not what makes it Chayiv Uchal or not. It depends what you do with it afterwards. If you made it Shoson Be'ilfis, so then it's in a pot, it's in a frying pan, without water, it's just being heated up in there, it's not called lechem, and it's potter. That's exactly what Reish Lakish said, and that's Akasha Tiyufta on Rav Yochanan. And if you put it in the Tanur, chayim, okay, great. Tiyufta the Rav Yochanan. This first part, Shoson Be'ilfis, it says it's potter, Rav Yochanan says Yechayim. So you have a Braisa going against Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was a great, great Amora, but he can't argue with a Braisa. So therefore, Akasha from this Braisa, Rav Yochanan, so what would Rav Yochanan answer? So Amar Rav Yochanan would say, this is a machlokas tanoim. You're right. I cannot agree with the tana of this brisa, but I have a tana in my pocket. I have a different brisa which holds like me. This machlokas is whether your son be'ilfis is potter or chayiv and chala is a machlokas tanoim. I hold like the opinion that says that it is chayiv and chala. And there is a distana that you just brought down that holds that the osim be'ilfis is potter in the din of chala. And where is that? The tanya. What is this machlokas tanoim? I have another brisa which says, I might have thought that the Me'isa and the Chaluta types of doughs should in fact be Chayav and Chala. However, Talmud Lomar Lechem, they're not considered Lechem, and therefore they're Potim and Chala. That's the Tanakama. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ein Lechem Eloha Ofui B'Tanur. Bread is by definition only something baked in a Tanur. Now, it sounds an awful lot like they're not disagreeing with each other. Why you just say that Rav Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakama? Rav Yehuda, Hainu Tanakama, aren't they saying the same thing? Tanakama says that the Me'isa and the Chaluta are not Chayiv and Chala because they're not called bread. And something that's not baked in an oven is not called bread. So what are they arguing? There's no argument. There's no disagreement. So therefore, Rav Yehuda, Hainu Tanakama. So Gemara says, no, this is the Machlokas Tanoim over here that Rav Yochanan is talking about. It depends on whether you hold Osim Be'ilfis is Potter or Osim Be'ilfis is Chayiv. He says, Ella, Lav Maisi Ilfis Ikabaneo. The difference between the Tanakama and Yehuda is, how do you consider a Maisi Ilfis? The Tanakama Sovra Maisi Ilfis is Chayavim. Oh, exactly like Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yehuda Sovra, no, Maisi Ilfis is Pturin, like Reish Lakish. So this is the Machlokas Tanoim, the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda parallels the Machlokas of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So Rav Yochanan says, I also have a Tana that holds like me. You can't slug me up from a Braisa that holds like this other Tana. Not a problem. However, the Gemara doesn't say this is the only way to reconcile the Braisa. Gemara says, lo, that's an incorrect way to understand the Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Tanakama. In fact, in this Braisa, the Kuliyama Maisiof is Peturin. In fact, both Rav Yehuda and the Tanakama hold, not like Rav Yochanan. They say Maisilvus is actually part of Nechala, and the Kasha remains on Rav Yochanan. And what are the Tanakhama and Yehuda arguing about? V'hocha, kigon shechaza v'yafo b'taner k'mifli. They're arguing about if you then subsequently put it into an oven. Here, the Tanakhama sovar, kivin shechaza v'yafo b'taner, lechem karina bay, as long as you subsequently bake it in an oven, it is called lechem. And that's why yechai v'chala. But Yehuda sovar, no. Ain lechem elo ha'ofi b'taner mi'ikara. It's only called bread if you bake it in the oven first. If you did something else to it, ma'ase ofis, and then you subsequently put it in the taner, that doesn't change it around from being ma'ase ofis, and it's potter. So therefore, it's lav lechem he in this situation. We keep in the mikor lav betana rafia lav lechem he, and that's what Rav Yehuda and the Tanakhama are arguing about. But bottom line is, it's a kasha Rav Yochanan. Both of them say kuli alma ma'ase ofis b'turin, and Rav Yochanan, you say that ma'ase ofis is chayiv. So kasha Rav Yochanan, and obviously Rav Yochanan doesn't understand it this way. Rav Yochanan understands it the way he understood it. Bottom line is, the Gemara just wants to conclude, I'm a Rava, my time to Rav Yehuda. Why does Rav Yehuda say that if you bake it subsequently in an oven, it's still no good? Lav lechem hu. Why not? So Gemara says, the reasoning behind Rav Yehuda is as follows. The Pasuk says, D'chsev, v'ofu eser noshim lachmechem betaner echod. The Pasuk tells us that there will be many women that will nebuch in the tochacha, they'll have to go bake in a single oven. And it says they'll bake their breads in an oven. So lechem, v'ofu betaner echod, kori lechem. If it's baked in a taner, it's called lechem. V'she'eno v'ofu betaner echod, in a kori lechem. But if it's not baked only in an oven, it was done something else before it, it is not called lechem. The Gemara now relates an interesting conversation between a number of Amoraim. Yosef, Rabba, Rav Yosef, the two great Amoraim, the Bali Plukta, Rabba and Rav Yosef, were sitting together, Achori the Rav Zera. They were sitting behind Rav Zera. They always were seated in the times of the Gemara in sort of a cased system, that the greater Gedolim was sitting up front and the younger, lesser Gedolim were sitting behind them. So Rabba and Rav Yosef were subordinate to Rabbi Zera. So they sat behind Rav Zera. The Yosef Rav Zera, and Rav Zera was the senior Talmud, he was sitting Kamed Ula in front of Ula. So Ula was the Rebbe, Rav Zera was sitting right in front of him, and Rabbi and Rav Yosef were sitting behind him. So Amalei Rabbi Rav Zera, Rabbi didn't speak directly to Ula, so he says to Rav Zera, he says, please ask Ula, boy me name Ula, go ask him the following question. Hidbik mi bifrim, v'irtiach mi bachutz mau. Let's further understand what exactly is involved in this ma'ase ilfis. If you attach the dough on the inside of this frying pan and you heat it up from the outside, v'irtiach mi bachutz mau, what is the halachic status in this situation? As Rashi says in Dira Maschu Mahu, mi havi lechem, is it considered bread or is it not considered bread in this situation? So Rav Zera says to him, I'm not going to ask that question to Ula. Amalei, Rav Zera says to him, my Amalei, what am I going to ask him? Because if I ask him this question, the Aminalei, if I were to ask him your question, he's going to tell me, Amalei, hi ninu my siofas. This is my siofas. This is exactly the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. So what do you want to know? Why are you asking this question? This is machlokas, Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. So Amalei, so now Rav Yosef goes and tells Rav Zera, but the first question was from Rabba, now it's from Rav Yosef. I'm like, Rav Yosef, Rav Zera, please ask Ula the following shayla. Bo mi nami Ula, ask Ula the following shayla. What about hidbik mi bifnim? If you put the dough on the inside, and instead of the fire being on the outside, like the first case that Rabba had said, where you were hirtiach mi bachutz, instead, from the outside, hidbik mi bifnim, but avuko kinegdo mahu. If you were to go have a fire on top of the area of the frying pan, not underneath it. So you're not heating it from the bottom, you're heating it up, so to say, from inside with the hot fire right on top of the dough in the frying pan. What would be the halach in that situation? Is it lechem or is it not lechem? Rashi explains this, mavuko kinegdo means milamala, on the top. The choma eshin, the heat from the fire, lohet bilfis, it goes and singes the frying pan, umimara fiyoso, and it goes and bakes it faster. Mahu in this situation, mi have a ka'ein tanur or lo? Is this like an oven and therefore it's bread? Or is it not like an oven and it's not bread? So again, this is what Rav Yosef said to Rav Zera to please ask Ula. And Rav Zera said, I'm not asking this question either. Amalei says, my Amalei, what am I going to go and ask Ula? Because if I ask him your question, the Aminalei, if I tell him what you asked me to ask, Amalei is going to answer to me, Rov aniyim osim kein. This is the normal way that aniyim bake. Rashi brings down, call my seofas kein. This is the way they normally go and use their fire pots. They don't do it from the bottom, they do it from the top. Shanlim ates them, they don't have enough firewood. And this way, with a smaller amount of firewood, it will go and be cooked and baked. So this is certainly Maase Ilfis. And therefore, this is also the same exact machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Why should I go and ask Ula this question? He's going to just tell me, this is the machlokas, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara goes and discusses Maaser Sheni. What is the status of Maaser Sheni in regards to various mitzvos? Amar Ravasi says, Issa shel Maaser Sheni, if you have a dough that's made up of Maaser Sheni, According to Ladivri Reb Meir, who holds, as Rashi points out, we learn in the Gemara in Kedushin that Reb Meir holds that Maisa Sheni is considered Mamun Gavoha, and for example, you can't be Makadish a woman with Maisa Sheni funds because it's not your money. It's you have the right to maybe use it, but it belongs to Hekdesh, and therefore it's not yours, and you can't be Makadish a woman with it. So therefore, in regards to these dinim, it's also not considered yours. So according to Reb Meir, you're Petur Min Achala. You only have to give this Matana to the Kohen called Chala when it's your dough. Here, it's not your dough. It's Maisa Sheni dough. That's Gavoa's dough, and therefore there is no Chiyav to take off Chala. But according to the Dibri Chachamim, who hold that Maaser Sheni is Mamun Hejod, it's considered the money of the person who has it. So according to the Chachamim, Chayeves B'Chala, you in fact are obligated to give Chala. If you be Mekadesh a woman with this, the woman be Mekudeshes. So to over here, it's your Chala, and it's your dough, and therefore it's your Chiyav to give Chala from it. We turn to Lamed Chesem and Aleph. Matzel Shal Maaser Sheni. Likewise, if you have Matzel of Maaser Sheni money, same exact point is made. The Divrei Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir, ain't Adam Yosei Bida Ba Yidei Chavasa Pesach. You can't fulfill the mitzvah of eating on Leil Pesach because, as we will see, we'll make a drasha, you have to own the matzah. And here, it's not your matzah. It belongs to Hekdish. As opposed to the Divrei Chachamim, who say that it is your mamon, it is your ownership on the Maaser Sheni, and you're a full owner in it. So then, therefore, even if you need to use your own matzah on the night of Pesach, Yotzi b'Yedei Chavasa b'Pesach. You can fulfill your requirement to eat matzah on Pesach with your matzah, even though it's Maaser Sheni. And finally, the third argument between Reb Meir and the Chachamim is regarding an esrog. If you have an esrog from Maaser Sheni, esrog shel Maaser Sheni, you grow esrogim, and now you take out Maaser Sheni from that, you have an esrog with Maaser Sheni. So the Divrei Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir, that it's not yours, you're required to have your own esrog, lekatan lochemes, we'll see. So therefore, any Yotzi b'Yedei Chavasa b'Yomtiv, you can't fulfill your obligation, at least on the first day of Yom Tov, without ownership. And by definition, Maaser Sheni, you're not the owner. It's Maaser Gavoa. It belongs to Hekdesh. It's not yours. And the Divrei Reb Meir, therefore, ain't Yosi b'Yedei Chavasa b'Yom Tov. However, the Divrei Chachamim will say that it's Mamun Hejot Dami. It is considered your money, your esrog. So therefore, Adam Yosi b'Yedei Chavasa b'Yom Tov, you can't fulfill your obligation on Sukkos with your esrog, even though it's Maaser Sheni. So these are three differences in halacha between Reb Meir and the Chachamim in regards to how we view Maaser Sheni. We had the din of whether it's Chayv and Chala, we had the din whether you can be Yotzei the mitzvah of Matzah on Leil Pesach, and whether you can be Yotzei the din of Lokach B'Lechem, you take the Priyei Tzadah, you take all the Arba Minim on Sukkos. Each one, Reb Meir says, it belongs to Hekdesh, it's Maaser Gavoha, and therefore it's not yours, and you're not fulfilling, it has to be yours, and you're not Yotzei, and the Chachamim say, no, Mamun Hejot, and therefore it is yours, and you can fulfill all three of these mitzvos, or you're obligated to fill all these mitzvos with the Maaser Sheni. Now, Maskev L'Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, wait a second, Bishlam Isa, where did you get the idea that it has to be yours? So by the Isa, by the dough, taking off the challah from the dough, I understand. Bishlam by the Isa, it says, D'Ksiv, Ariso Sechem, Mishal Lechem, it has to be yours, Lochem, Mishal Lochem, Esrog Nami, D'Ksiv, Lekachtem, Lochem. So both of them have the pasuk, yours, it must be yours, Lochem. However, where does it say by matzah lochem? It doesn't say that. So by esrog, it says lekach lochem, lochem mishalochem. By the dough, it says ariso sechem, mishalochem. El matzah, miksev matzaschem. It doesn't say anywhere matzaschem. You have to take your matzah to be yotzei the mitzvah. So Mor says, Amar Rav, or others say, Vitema Rabbi Yemar bar Shalmiya, whoever it was that said this, he said, no, we have a gzeirah shav over here. It says lechem by matzah, lechem oni, and it says lechem as well in regards to the mitzvah of challah. So, ksiv lechem by lechem oni, and it says uksiv hasam in regards to taking off the dough obligation to take off the challah, v'yah ba'acholchem mi lechem or aretz. So therefore, we make the zeru shavu lechem lechem, malahap mishalachem, just like by the dough, we said ariso sechem. So you have the zeru shavu telling me the lechem by the obligation to take off challah is equivalent to the lechem oni obligation, so af kami shalachem. So that's how we learn out that the matz has to be lochem as well. Even though it doesn't say matzeschem, we have it through the Gzeir Shav, lechem lechem, from challah to the mitzvah of matzah on Leil Pesach. Shmuel says, I'll show you a riot to this lehman Messiah. Let us say that we have a riot to this din from the following. The Brisa says, Isa shal Maaser Sheni p'tur min achala. If you have a dough of Maaser Sheni, it's p'tur min achala to be Remeir. Exactly Remeir. The Chachom Rim Chayevis. And the Chachom say that it's Chayevis. So the Gemara says, that's, you're saying, let us say it's a raya, lema, misayale, hainuach, that's exactly what Rav Asi said. So why are you telling me I have a brisa in support of Rav Asi said? It's exactly what Rav Asi said. So the Gemara says, no, hachi kamar, this is what it means to say. You can delete the word lay or not, either way. Just like they're arguing with the dough in terms of Rav Meir and the Chacham arguing, do you have to be mafrish the challah from such a dough of Maisa Sheni? So Bahanech Nami Pligi, they're arguing as well in regards to the Esrog. Or do we say, oh, Dilmah, shiny hussar, maybe you have a special din, because the chsiv, ariso sechem, tre zimne. There it says, ariso sechem, twice. So maybe there, and only there, is there an obligation that it must be yours. But if it only says it once, lekachtem lochem, maybe not. So therefore, that's what is lema mesayli, he's saying that this is a raya to the statement that Ravasi made. What did you have the lekachtem lochem for? So Rashi brings down that if you only had it one time, you would have said, the lochem is lemute shol v'gozul, a borrowed or a stolen esrog. Aval esrog shomai sasheni would be perfectly good. Because if you wanted to, you could eat it, so therefore you could be yotzi with it. I feel according to Rav Meir. That's why this is lema mesayile. This is a brisa in support of what Rashi said. No, that even though it says ariso sechem twice, you don't need to have it said twice. Even if it says it once, lochem, you can learn out this drasha by esrog that it has to be yours, and therefore Rav Meir, who holds that maisa sheni is momon gavoa, it wouldn't be yours, and you wouldn't be yotzi. With this, we conclude today's shir.